verse 35 says, speaking of Jesus, "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed." Title of the message you see as well on the screen, "A Great While Before Day." Lord, we come before you this morning and ask for your help. Ask for your grace and strength. Lord, I ask for your filling. Empty me of myself, God, and let not anything I do distract or pull away attention from you. And I just pray that your Holy Spirit would work through me and speak through me your word to these folks here today. Lord, I pray that you'd open up each heart and mind, that we'd be ready to receive the word of God gladly, and be ready to obey swiftly as you speak to our hearts and as you direct us. And Lord, I just pray that this would be a clear message. I pray that it would be a helpful message. And I pray that you'll work in each heart that which is needed today. Help us, Lord, not only to hear but to heed what you have to say to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. A great while before a day, if you mark your Bible, that'd be a great phrase to mark today in Mark chapter 1, verse 35. "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed." We're in our great series, of course, as you know. I've had a number of messages that have to do with something the Lord says is great, or in reference to something great in the Bible. And we've gone through many from, I believe it was from the end of January or beginning of February. We started on Sunday mornings doing this. And this passage caught my eye and my heart this week. And so I hope it'll be a help to you. As we know, and this is really a reminder for most of you, Jesus Christ is our supreme example of how to live. Amen? Let us remember, as we consider this, that Jesus was all God and all man, all at the same time. Therefore, he faced temptation just like we do. He faced trials just like we do. He faced physical exhaustion just like we do. He faced various pressures of life that you and I would face, but he did this without sin. He did all things perfectly. He's the only one, of course, that can claim that, by the way, to do all things perfectly without sin and in that way. He's the only sinless one, because he's God the Son. But even if we consider that and say, I understand what you're saying, so to follow his example, that's not always easy. But here's the key, is we have him within us. We have his power through us, whereby we can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth us. And so he's left us an example to strive for his example and to be what we ought to be, just like him. And here in our verse this morning, and we're going to refer to some of the surrounding verses in this chapter, he models for us what we ought to do as his followers. Just like anything we see about Jesus as an example to us, as his followers, we see an example here before us. I believe it would be accurate to say this morning that Jesus sought to get the most out of every day that he was on earth. Would you agree with that? He sought when he rose up in the morning, unless he was praying all night, he wouldn't be getting up in that sense. But he sought to get the most out of each day so that he could fulfill the mission that God gave him. And I think in this portion of Scripture, as we see, it's emphasized in the phrase, "and in the morning, rising up a great while before day." And I believe the way he went about living his life is something that we should not only consider this morning, but I think we should commit to following. Sometimes we'll consider things in the Bible, or consider a message that's brought forth, or consider a passage that God puts in our mind or heart, but we fail to commit to doing what it says. And so I want to encourage you, encourage myself this morning, that we not only consider this passage, consider the thought this morning, but that we commit to carrying through following him in this. I have four words for us this morning that describes Jesus' life as I see it from this section of Scripture in Mark chapter 1. Four words. And I believe these four things led him to rise up a great while before day. The first word we'll look at this morning is the word sacrifice. sacrifice. You say, what does that have to do with Jesus' life or this section of Scripture? We're going to see, and perhaps most of you already know, that Jesus lived a life of sacrifice. He sacrificed for God's mission and for the benefit of others. He sacrificed his time. He sacrificed his energy. He sacrificed many things in his life while he was on earth that we can see he lived a life of sacrifice. And if he was going to expend himself for others, he needed to sacrifice time as well. And look at a couple passages in Mark. Mark chapter 1, verse 28 tells us, "And immediately his fame spread throughout all the region round about Galilee." And we know when someone's fame spreads that they begin to give time to others and lose time for themselves, because many people want access to them one way or another. And with Jesus, it was the same. His fame grew, his popularity grew, his influence grew, and so therefore more people wanted access to him and wanted to talk to him and wanted to wanted him to heal them or wanted to hear some message on something that was being said. And so he had to sacrifice, and that's exactly what he did. In Mark chapter 1, verse 32, it says, "And at even or evening when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils. And all the city was gathered together at the door." Right, you know what that takes? That takes sacrifice, doesn't it? Not only do we see a sacrifice for others in this immediate context, and there's many other passages we could go to, but we're going to touch them later. For now, understand this: because his fame grew, because of what he was doing to help others, they brought everyone to him, and everybody wanted something from him. And he did as much as he could. Why? Because he lived a life of sacrifice. Why? Because, as the Bible says in Mark 10:45, that he didn't come to be ministered unto, but to minister. And so he lived a life of sacrifice. Not only did he sacrifice in the immediate needs of people, but he sacrificed ultimately with the mission God gave him. Mark 10:45, I reference it, let me read the scripture. "For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." And so he showed his heart of sacrifice and life of sacrifice by the fact that he laid down his life. They didn't take it from him. He laid down his life willingly, understanding what God the Father wanted and the plan of salvation. And he shed his blood for the sin of all mankind. And he was buried, and we know he rose again the third day in victory. That's the gospel for all those that will believe and trust Jesus as their Savior. And so we see his life of sacrifice, his life of service to others. Jesus lived his life in service to others and died for the sins of others. How many of us know that a person who only lives for himself, without service or without sacrifice, lives poorly? Let me say that again. A person who only lives for himself, without service or sacrifice, lives poorly. I didn't say they are poor, because there's many rich people who only live for themselves. But those who are truly rich are those who are willing to sacrifice and serve others. That, you say, are you sure that's what we're supposed to do? That's what Jesus did. And we're supposed to follow in his steps. We're supposed to serve just like he did. In fact, he washed his disciples' feet one day, and he told them, "As I have done unto you, do unto others." And so we know that sacrifice is important to live, not only for Jesus, but for the Christian. We sacrifice many things in life to follow God, don't we? We sacrifice many things in life for the best thing of following Jesus and living his will in our lives. While others may seem it's a sacrifice, to us, it's really not a sacrifice. It's more of a blessing, because we're focused and fulfilled in the calling he gives us. God has given us gifts. He's given us resources. He's given us opportunities to minister to others. And you know what? That takes sacrifice. If you're not willing to sacrifice for anybody or anything but yourself, you're going to live a very miserable life as a Christian, because that's not how God designed us. I heard a preacher say once, "God has blessed me to be a blessing." And so if you're blessed, whether it's with gifts, talents, abilities, money, resources, opportunities, he didn't bless you just for your own sake. He blessed you so you could be a blessing to others. And sacrifice. You see, we're considering that Jesus, rising up a great while before day, went out and departed in a solitary place and prayed. We see as we consider this, we see that he had a life of sacrifice, which to me, partly why he got up a great while before day. He had a lot to do. He had time and energy to expend for the sake of others. It was a life of sacrifice. Can I ask you this morning, are you living a life of sacrifice? Are you living a life of sacrifice? Are you following in Jesus' steps when it comes to sacrifice? Or are you more concerned about my time, my things, my job, my house, my car, my money, my gifts, my opportunities, and you're not willing to expend yourself for others? Sacrifice. Secondly, if you don't like that one, we have three more. So we'll get there. Diligence. See, what else? What other kind of life did Jesus live? A life of diligence. Hard work was not something Jesus was afraid of. A diligent people, listen, diligent people do not stay in bed longer than needed because there's much to do. Yeah, I know we all roll over a few times more than we should, right? And we hit the snooze. But I'm just saying, diligent people do not stay in bed longer than needed because there's much to do. What did God say in the morning, rising up a great while before day? Proverbs 26:14, listen to this verse. You ever heard this verse before? In Proverbs 26:14, as the door turneth upon his hinges, so does the slothful turn upon his bed. Get that? When you think of a door turning upon its hinges, think of that in the morning when you need to wake up for something. Amen? That's a good. I love the imagery that we see from the Bible and the illustrations God gives. As the door turneth upon his hinges, so doth the slothful upon his bed. I'm just saying diligence really should be a part of a Christian's life. Amen? God created us to work. God created us to accomplish his task. And so he has things for us to do. There's much to do. Not all of us have the same level of energy. Not all of us have the same level of health. I understand all that, but I'm saying what we can do and what God's given us to do, we ought to do with all diligence. Amen? So diligence. Let's read about Jesus' day for a second. Mark chapter 1, verse 14. Now after that, John, that's John the Baptist, was put in prison. Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. So he's there and he starts out his ministry, his public ministry, preaching the word of God, saying, repent and believe the gospel. And then we go to verse 16. I'm just skipping around. Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, verse 16, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little further thence, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the ship mending their nets. And straightway he called them and left their father Zebedee in the ship with their hired servants and went after him. And so he's preaching the gospel. He's going out there, repent and believe the gospel. Kingdom of God is at hand. And then also along the way, he's calling out some of his apostles, some of his disciples, and that through that process, he's training them and discipling them and working with them, not only showing them an example, but trying to invest in them because he's going to die and rise and ascend to heaven soon. And so he's investing in them in verse 21. And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day, he entered into the synagogue and taught. And so he's teaching in the synagogue as well. That was part of his daily routines, going from place to place in Galilee, in the region of Galilee, and he's preaching in the synagogues and teaching. And of course, they were astonished at his doctrine. And it goes on in verse 23. And in the synagogue was a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. Now he's casting out devils. He's teaching in the synagogue. He's preaching the gospel. He's trying to train some disciples along the way too. And then we get to verse 28. Skipping down, immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee. And forthwith, when they were coming out of the synagogue, they entered in the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever. Now it's time to heal someone. And anon they tell him of her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. And immediately the fever left her. And she ministered unto them. And then we read this to start, but let's keep reading. And when at evening, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and all that were possessed with devils. Could you see them lining up at the house, at the door? And all the city was gathered at the door. That's a lot of people lining up to get something from Jesus. And he healed many that were sick of diverse diseases and cast out many devils and suffered not the devils to speak before because they knew him. And you see, I'll just go home and hopefully relax with the disciples. No, he gets this knock on the door. He opens the door and there's a line of people now that are going after him. I know there's times to rest and there's times to say no to things and we're not Jesus. I understand that. But following his example, we see something in his life. We see diligence, hard work. We see he was willing not only to sacrifice himself for others, but he was willing to work out hard at what God had called him to do. And I understand this morning, all of us have a different calling in life besides the basic things every Christian's supposed to be doing. Some may be serving in ministry. Others may be a stay-at-home mom or teaching your kids. Others are going out in the secular world and working a job, and some maybe longer hours than others, some part-time, full-time. Some people are retired here this morning. But we all have something to do that God's given us. Some areas of life that God's put us in, are we doing it with diligence? You see, we read that he rose up in the morning and went out. In verse 36, we read, "And Simon and they that were with him followed after him." So he was trying to get away for an early morning prayer session, some early morning communion with God, and he's got his disciples following him. So he can't even catch a breath and get along with God maybe as much as he'd like to, God the Father. And so we see Jesus was diligent. We as followers of Jesus Christ ought to be diligent and hardworking in the duties of life God has given us. Listen, don't complain about what God's given you or where he's put you or the opportunities he's given you or the work he's called you to do. Listen, don't complain about it. Do it with all your heart. And if it's not of God, ask him to direct you elsewhere. But we ought to be diligent. Christians ought to be hardworking. Christians ought to be diligent in their business, ought to be particular about how they're doing things to make sure it's right. We ought to be that way, by the way, in the service to the Lord and the church, too. We ought to not approach serving God and the ministries of a church in a way of, I'll do the best I can and hopefully it'll be all right. No, we ought to, with just as much diligence as any other work. By the way, God's work's the most important work, really, because it lasts for eternity. And so we ought to not be flippant about our service to God either. If he's given you gifts or abilities to use to minister to others outside of your normal job and calling he's put into your life, we ought to do it with the best heart and the most we can. The Bible says to serve him with all our hearts. So Proverbs 14:23 says, drink of water here, I'm choking. Proverbs 14:23 says, "In all labor there is profit." And that's true, isn't it? Through labor, through working, things are provided. God set us up to work. Romans 12:11 tells us, "Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord." See, Jesus partly rose a great while before day because he had a mission to perform. He had some guys to train. He had some others to minister to, some messages to preach and teach. He sought to make the best out of what God the Father had for him. Should not we do that with the roles and responsibilities God's given us? Each of us have different roles in life. We're all children of God if we've trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior. So we have the role of a child of God. And we ought to fulfill that role and responsibility of walking with God and learning from God and growing in God. We ought to do that the best we can. We ought to do that with all diligence. Some of us are husbands or wives. We ought to fulfill that role to be a husband and wife, as God says in his word, to the best of our ability. Some of us, God has blessed with children, and we ought to be the best parent we can be for the honor and glory of God. Some of us, God has given us jobs that we go and work, and there's an opportunity there to be a testimony for Jesus in the world we live in, and we ought to do the best we can with that job God's given us. And so, no matter what station he's called you or role he's given you, and there's many other roles, certainly we could name, if you're a child and still living at the house, then you ought to fulfill that role of being a child and obeying your parents and submitting their authority with all diligence. So we ought not to be slothful in our business. And we look at Jesus' life rising up a great while before day, and we see sacrifice. We see diligence. Can I ask you this morning, are you living a life of diligence? Are you living? There's times to rest. That's part of working and serving. Is God gives us rest. Praise the Lord for that. He knows our bodies need rest and refreshment and so forth to a certain level. But are we taking that to the extreme? Amen? And we can do that. If you're always taking refreshment and relaxation and never working, that's a problem. Amen? And so there's balance in our life when it comes to that, but certainly hard work and diligence. Thirdly, what else do we see in Jesus' life here? A great while before day, we see the most obvious dependence. Verse 35, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day, what was he doing? He went out and departed into a solitary place. Solitary means somewhere by itself, somewhere where there's no one else around, somewhere where he can spend time with the Father, in a solitary place, and there prayed. The Son of God, Jesus Christ, sought direction and gained strength from God the Father. As he departed into a solitary place to pray to the Father, he shows us the importance of dependence on him for our strength and direction. I can't stress this enough, the importance of starting your day with the Lord. You say, I'm just not a morning person. And I would suggest you become a morning person. Because you have so much to do during the day, you need to spend time with God in the morning. And this is one thing that even the person that's been a Christian for years and years often struggles with, is spending time with God. And you're missing out, not only in following Jesus' example, but missing out on one of the greatest strengths and areas of direction and faith you can get by spending every morning with God. I'm not saying it's always easy. I'm saying it's necessary. I'm not saying our flesh won't fight, but I'm saying we need to be stronger and overcome by the Spirit of God. Luke 5:16 says, and he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. Jesus, we read numerous times in the Gospels, he's pulling away from the rest to spend some time with the Father. Jesus told his disciples in Luke 18:1 that men ought always to pray and not to faint. You say, I'm fainting. Well, maybe you need to pray some more. He said, hey, instead of fainting, why don't you come to me in prayer and seek me for strength? Oh, listen, I don't know about you, but my day goes so much better, and I gain much more wisdom and faith to face what's coming when I spend time in the morning with God. If you miss those opportunities, you're going to find your faith will decrease. You'll find your strength and your courage to follow God will grow a little colder. You need to spend time with the Lord. None of us has as much to do or as important a mission as Jesus Christ. So it's imperative that we who are only human seek our Lord in a quiet place, especially at the start of the day. I'm talking about in prayer and Bible reading, communion with God. But I say at the beginning of the day or in the morning, I'm talking at the start of your day. At the start of your day. So before you go into your day's activities, there ought to be a time where you spend time with God to gain strength and power. I know we can make a case for it doesn't matter as long as you just pray and read your Bible sometime during the day. That's true. But there's something special about it, and there's an emphasis in the Bible about in the morning seeking God. And I think it's important that we take the time to do that. In Psalm 5:3, the psalmist said, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. Listen, does the Lord hear your voice in the morning? Does he hear your voice in the morning? God, I need you today. Lord, I don't know what I'm going to face this day, but I know I need your strength. Would you help me? Lord, as I'm reading your Bible this morning, reading your word, you're speaking to me through this. Would you help me to apply this? Would you help me today? I have a big decision to make at work, or I got this going on in the home, or I'm struggling over here in this area. Would you help me today? Would you strengthen me? Say, does that really do something? Yeah. Prayer is powerful. Not only because we're talking to God and communing with him, but as we're talking to him, he speaks to our heart through it. He can give us direction and wisdom. If Jesus shows us that example and he went to the Father, don't you think we ought to as well? Psalm 63:1, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Let me tell you this, and I'll just speak about myself. I won't say you, I'll say me. If I long for God in a relationship with him, if I long to spend time with God, if it's truly in my heart, I will get up early. If I'm growing a little cold and other things are crowding in my life, then I won't get up early. And it's the same for all of us. The psalmist said, my soul longeth for thee. So early I'm going to rise. Early you're going to hear my voice. You're going to hear my voice before I start my day, before I get to my business. I need to get the business with God. And can I encourage you to do that? Listen, I don't know. I have no idea what your personal time is with God. Most of you, I would have to guess. I don't know if you do or not. But I know this, before you start the day's activities, before you start with whatever you have to do each day, I encourage you, I implore you, I beseech you, I ask you and recommend and suggest very strongly that you get up early and spend time with God. Whatever early is for you. For some, that may be 3 a.m. For some, that may be 5 a.m. or 10 a.m. Or if you work a different shift later than that, I don't know. But I'm just saying, when you get up, before you start your day, don't miss that opportunity. Let God hear your voice. Can you imagine him just holding his ear? And I know he doesn't have ears like we do in that sense, but the Bible uses that those kind of illustrations. He's holding his ear, listening for your voice. Am I going to hear it today? Am I going to hear her today? Am I going to hear him today? I've got some things to help him with today. I got some ways to direct him if you just call out to me. If you just call out to me, I'll answer him and show him great and mighty things, but I'm waiting to hear his voice. Well, he talked to me at the end of the day, but I had so much I could have given him for the day. I had so much I could have directed his heart in if he just would have sought my word and spent some time with me. Oh, listen, we miss out so much. Why would you want to miss out on that? God, who controls everything, who knows everything, who knows what's going to happen today, who knows what you need today, who knows what you're going to face today, who knows perhaps what even tragedy or trial you may face, is one who you can commune with and hear from and get direction from and get leadership from, and he can speak to your heart about something that you may not even know why, but when the time comes that day, you'll be prepared, you'll be ready, you'll be strong. Why would you want to miss that? Why would I want to miss that? But we do, don't we? We hurry up through our morning and through our day, and we get off to work, and perhaps we're a little frazzled, or we just not, our mind's not in the right place, and we end up in the flesh. Dependence. Jesus rose up a great while before day. Why? Because he wanted to depend upon the Father and his leading. How much more should we? E.M. Bounds, who wrote about prayer much, he said, a desire for God which cannot break the chains of sleep is a weak thing and will do but little good for God after it has indulged itself fully. The desire for God that keeps so far behind the devil and the world at the beginning of the day will never catch up. Did you get that? It was wordy. Let me read it again. A desire for God which cannot break the chains of sleep is a weak thing and will do but little good for God after it has indulged itself fully. The desire for God that keeps so far behind the devil and the world at the beginning of the day will never catch up. The world's already doing its thing in the morning before your day starts. The devil's already scheming and planning before you ever even get up. And how dare we get up and just go about our day without needing strength from God? Oh, listen, dependence. I know we all have much to do day to day, but nothing is more important to the success of your day than going to God before the day and seeking his strength and direction. We see a great while before day, we see a life of sacrifice. Do we have a life of sacrifice for others, for God? We see a life of diligence. Are we diligent in what we're called to do and what God's put before us? Are we diligent? By the way, sometimes we think, well, I just don't have enough energy to do everything that I have to do. Well, I believe if God's given you what you have to do, he gives you the strength to match it. He gives you the grace to match it. The problem is sometimes we put too many things on our plate that God never meant for us. Things that maybe God would whittle down if you go to him and say, God, I have too many things going on. What do you want me to do? What should be the focus? And if you just get the right focus and the right priorities and you have God's leading and you're in his will, he will match whatever you have to do, whatever your day is going to be, with the strength and grace needed to complete it and do it in a way that glorifies him. I believe that. Well, we have sacrifice, we have diligence, then we have dependence. If we're going to live a life like Jesus, if we're going to live a life that pleases him, we've got to live with a life of dependence. If we're going to get up a great while before day and get in a solitary place with God, then it's going to take dependence upon Him, realizing, I need you. If I don't go to you, I will not get through this day successfully. If I don't go to you, I will not make the right decisions. If I don't go to you in the morning and spend the time with you that I need, I will not have the faith to trust you when the temptation comes. Or the trials. Dependence. You say, what's the last one? Last one's faithfulness. I've noticed in Mark 1 that Jesus' prayer to God is the morning after a busy day, but also the morning before another busy day. The key is Jesus stayed faithful to His task, and we can stay faithful to the task God's given us if we follow Jesus' example. Look at verse 36. Jesus gets up. It's been a busy day. He's done quite a bit. And it says, and Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they found him, they said unto him, all men seek for thee. By the way, you say, I just can't pull away and spend some time with God because all the business that I have that needs to be done. Listen, that business will be there when you're done spending time with God. Amen? It'll still be there. Jesus could have served and worked nonstop if he wanted to. But guess what? The work's still there. He said, hey, all men seek for thee. Weren't they just seeking for him? Weren't they just bringing everybody to him? The work's there, but he recognized, I need to get away. And listen, we need to recognize we need to get away. You can't do what you have to do or be a blessing to others or minister or serve or sacrifice or be diligent without strength from God. You will go flat out, you will go straight out, and you'll find yourself flat out. If you don't come apart, you'll come apart, right? Jesus said, come apart and rest with me a while. If you don't come apart and rest with God a while, you're going to find yourself coming apart at the seams. And so you need that time to get away and spend time with God in dependence and trusting Him, following His leading, getting the strength you need so you can be diligent, so you can be faithful, so you can sacrifice for others. You've got to be filled before you can give out to what God wants you to do. And so we see here, Jesus gets away, but the business is still there that he needs. Verse 38, and he said unto them, let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also. For therefore came I forth. And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and cast out devils. And so what do we see here? Jesus continues on with the mission. Did he take some time to get alone? Yes, we all need that. We all need that refueling process. We all need that strengthening process. And even if you can't get away for like a few days or a week or 2 weeks to rest and get strengthened, you can get a spiritual kind of rest. Getting alone with God and spending some time with Him and getting strength and power to continue on. Jesus was steadfast, faithful, constant. The Bible speaks much of the idea on the idea of faithfulness or steadfastness or continuing on. In Proverbs 28:20, it says, a faithful man shall abound with blessings. Just continuing on with what God has for you. Just continuing on in the roles and responsibilities He's given you. Just continuing on with the mission God has put in His word for us. Just continuing on, blessings will come. Blessings don't come when you go forward and you just don't want to do it anymore, or it gets too hard, or you grow weary and you stop. But when you continue on faithfully, yeah, you have to pull away to God and then continue on. Pull away to God, continue on. Get alone, come apart, and rest a while with the Lord, and then continue on. When you're at that breaking point, you ever been at a breaking point? Anyone? Be honest. Get to that breaking point. I just can't take it anymore. That's a good time to get alone with God. Get the strength and refreshment you need and reviving from God and moving on. 1 Corinthians 15:58, one of my favorite verses. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Steadfast. Don't move. Keep going. Trusting God, laboring. Say, is it worth it doing this? Yes, it's worth it. Is it worth it serving here? Yes, it's worth it. Is it worth it taking care of this in my life? Yes, it's worth it. Is it worth fulfilling that role in my life? Yes, yes, yes. As you do it for the Lord, it's not in vain. Galatians 6:9, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. He said, how do I keep going and not grow weary and not faint? Well, Jesus already told us that earlier. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. And if we, as we seek the Lord, we can do that. John 8:31, then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. John 15:9, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Just trying to emphasize the fact this morning that as Jesus was faithful in continuing with what the Father directed him to do, we must continue and be faithful and steadfast in that which the Father has given us to do. See, what has God given me to do? Well, you need to get Wednesday night's message on the affairs of this life, because that'll help you kind of sort out the different things God has given us, the business, the roles that he's given us to do in life, and how we're supposed to handle them with discretion. But in the midst of all that, and the busyness of life, and the things of life God's given us, and serving him, and living for him, and fulfilling his mission at the same time, we need to recognize it's a life of dependence on him. And Jesus, rising up a great while before day, departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. Oh, listen, how many times could you say that in your life, that happened with you? Rose up a great while before day because you know you needed to spend time with God. Some of you, many of you, are very busy. You have things going on here, things going on there. You have multiple facets to your life, different roles and responsibilities you have. Not only personal things and business things and church things and just family things. And you got all these things going on. Listen, Jesus had a busy life too, but he recognized the importance of pulling away and spending time with the Father. You see, that's how I believe he could live a life of sacrifice. Because you live a life of sacrifice for others long enough, you can get tired of sacrificing. You can get tired of spending time on other people. You can get tired of doing those things. But Jesus, we know he's God, yes, we understand that. But his human side, no doubt, he had the same temptations we did. You know what kind of helps reset us is when we go to God and recognize all he sacrificed for us. And when he speaks to our heart, it helps us to know that he's there and that we're doing the right thing and that he loves us and that he gives us the strength to do it, then we can press on with that life of sacrifice. And then there's diligence, yes. You can get weary and tired just from working and working and working, expending energy, going after this and going after that and doing this and doing that. You can get tired. You say, what can strengthen you again? What can refresh you again? Is when you rise up a great while before day and depart in a solitary place and pray. You get alone with God, with his word, in communion with him, and he can refresh your spirit where you have energy to do what he wants you to do. So how does that affect you physically? I don't know. I'm just saying. I've been tired physically doing things, but when I spend time with God, somehow he gives me some refreshment where I know I can continue on and have the strength to continue to work as the way God would want me. And he said, what about dependence? Listen, it's easy to start depending on yourself when you're not trusting God and when you're not going to him. When you're not seeking his word, when you're not praying, it's easy just to go according to your own intuitions, according to your own leading. But you need God's leading every day, and so we need to get along with him. And then how do you stay faithful? How do you stop from growing weary? How do you stop from fainting as you're living for God, as you're raising your family, as you're going to work, as you're trying to impact others with the gospel? How do you stop from growing faint or weary? Well, then again, Jesus has the answer. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. You see, that's real simple. It is simple in theory. In practice, it's hard because we have so much in our lives. Listen, how many Christians have been saved for number of years here this morning, and I'm not asking for indications or hands. Been saved for many, many years, and you still struggle with spending time with God at the beginning of your day. Spending more than just a few minutes alone with him. There was one preacher, and I don't have his name or the quote off the top of my head, but essentially the quote was, and I think it was in one of Ian Bound's books on prayer, that if he hears the workmen around him up doing their work before he's up doing business with God, you know, that's a miserable thing to him. That's something that he feels guilty about. He essentially said, I want to be up early seeking God before others are up working for the world. And we ought to have that desire to be up early seeking God and asking Him for the things we need. What a challenge to us. Sacrifice, diligence, dependence, faithfulness. It starts before you get moving in your day-to-day business. It begins a great while before day if we want God's leading, greater faith, and more courage to accomplish all that God has for us. Certainly we ought to be praying always, but there's something about spending time with God in the mornings before your day.